turn our attention now to the reading of God's Word. And these texts that I'm reading this morning, there's four of them, but this is just a handful of texts from Scripture, Old and New Testament, probably another 25 or 30 texts dealing with the topic of calling. So I'm just reading a portion of them this morning. So this is God's holy word. Now give it your full attention. First, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, we have 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of our own purpose, His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Next, we have 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the final one is from Acts chapter 2, Acts 2, verses 36 through 39. This is part of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for this topic that we're looking at this morning. We pray that by Your Spirit's presence in us, the very Spirit that inspired these words, that You would give us greater understanding and appreciation for the glorious way You have worked to call a people unto Yourself. We ask it all now for Christ's sake. Amen. Have you ever noticed how parents have the amazing ability to know or to recognize their child's cry, even in a room full of screaming babies? Not only can they identify their child, but parents quickly learn to interpret or to discern the kind of cry their child is making. Parents know a tired cry from a hungry cry, or an angry cry from a hurt or a wet cry. And as children grow up, this also works in the opposite direction. Children have learned to distinguish the various voices or commands of their parents. When I was a kid growing up in the neighborhood in Austin, Texas, our mothers would often call for us to come in or to come home while we were in the middle of a serious football or baseball game. Now, my mother, her name is Ethel, who is English. She was born and raised in Nottingham, England. You know, Robin Hood, Sherwood Forest, and all that. But she had and has still today a very distinct voice, a very distinct accent. And so through the screen door, she would call, "Davy, come in, it's time for supper." Now, if the game was just too good to leave, she would call out again, "David, supper's on the table, come in, son." And if I didn't heed that call, she would come outside with her hands on her hips and she would yell, "David Thomas Breck, put down that ball and bat and get in this house right now." Sorry about the accent. I cleared it with her though. But did you pick up the progression? She went from Davy to David to David Thomas Brack. And you knew when the middle names came out, it was time to move it or lose it. Now, as children grow older, they discern more. They pick up more meaning in their parents' voices, especially when parents would call out your name. You could tell whether they were angry or anxious or upset or nervous or excited. And so you learned to discern, to recognize, that is to hear with meaning their calls. They're summoning you or commanding you to do things. So calling, making calls is a very important, very common, very familiar part of our everyday lives. We call people on the phone. We make calls in our businesses. We call ahead for reservations. We call in sick. We experience dropped calls. And not as much now as in former generations, but we still refer to an occupation or one's job as a calling in life. Our common word is vocation, which is from the Latin vocare, which simply means to call. So the concept of calling is also a crucial, critical truth in Holy Scripture that relates to our salvation, to the very core of how sinners are saved, how we are transformed from God's enemies and lawbreakers into God's forgiven children, those who become covenant keepers. And we find the words call, called, and calling all over the Bible. Men, we learn early in the Scriptures in Genesis, call on God in worship. And God calls men out of various situations. You know, the New Testament word for church in Greek is the word ekklesia. I'm sure many of you know that. It's a compound word. Ek means out, and kaleo is the Greek word for call. So the church is a group of people called out of the kingdom of sin and darkness and death into Christ's kingdom of light and forgiveness and eternal life. God calls on men to do things. He calls Israel to remember and to respond to Him. The one true living God, the triune God of the Bible, is an active, prolific caller. Every aspect of our lives is connected to God's sovereign cosmic calling. Creation itself is the result of God's call. He spoke creation into existence. God powerfully, mysteriously, incomprehensibly called something out of nothing. And by His call, by His voice, the heavens and the earth came into being. Life, all life, exists by His call. And that first principle never changes. Only when God calls, when He speaks, Is there recreation? Is there regeneration? New life, spiritual life, eternal life. Life that comes out of a lifeless, spiritually dead heart. This is God's call upon sinners that results in our calling upon Him. And this is what the Westminster Shorter Catechism question we're looking at describes as the effectual calling of God the Holy Spirit that results in our salvation, our new eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, as we look closely in Scripture, we find two kinds of calling concerning our redemption, which theologians identify first as an external or general call, and then secondly, an internal or effectual call. Now, this outward general, sometimes called the universal call, is basically or essentially the gospel. This call is what goes out to the world, the message that goes to all men indiscriminately. And this outreach we refer to as evangelism. It is the proclamation, the declaration of the gospel, which men hear with their ears. And so this is the task, this is the job Christ gave the church. We are to be His witnesses, His ambassadors, who tell the world the truth that salvation is found in Christ alone. We are to proclaim, to present the facts of the gospel. Namely, just to name a few, who God is, who man is, how sin cuts us off from God and has made us all worthy of God's wrath and eternal condemnation. It's the truth, we tell men, of our helplessness as sinners. But we also declare God's mercy and grace that is promised to all who repent of their sin, to all who deny themselves and turn in faith to Christ as their Savior. And so all of this is the content of the external call, our calling the lost to Christ. And in this message, which we present to the lost, Paul says in Acts 17, verse 30, quote, that God Himself now commands all people everywhere to repent, for He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. That man, of course, is Christ Jesus when He returns as the judge of all. So the sincere, true, universal, external call of God is the message that salvation is found in and by Christ alone. He only can save you, forgive you, and make you acceptable to God. And this message includes the command that we just heard that you must repent and trust Christ or you will be eternally lost. And so we see that the gospel is not an invitation in the sense that it is simply one among many ways to heaven. It is not, and all religions are equal, so please try ours, kind of invitation. No, no, no. Our invitation is an alarm. It's an urgent life or death warning. And guess what? It's not politically correct. It states that all religions except biblical Christianity are false and totally futile. No one, Jesus states emphatically, comes to the Father except by me. except through me. All who remain unbelievers, non-Christians, will be eternally lost. But all who humbly repent and turn in true faith to Christ are blessed, forgiven, and favored forever in God's glorious presence. Now, this external outward call that we deliver, that we proclaim to the world, and that falls on men's ears is absolutely critical, because it is the means, it is the way, it's the method God mysteriously and miraculously, and most of all, supernaturally uses to change sinners from enemies, from rebellious criminals into His responsive children. It is by hearing the gospel, the external call, that God's Spirit issues an inward call, a life-giving, heart-changing call that creates new life, a whole new disposition in us, giving us a new desire for God and a new power to seek God and to serve Him, which we were originally created to do. So again, we see that the outward and inward calls are significantly connected. In Romans 10, Paul talks about men not being able to call on Christ unless they first know of Christ. And that doesn't happen unless someone tells them about Christ, unless someone preaches the gospel to them. And that presentation of God's saving work by Christ is our task, our responsibility. But only God, the Holy Spirit, can cause that outward gospel call to have an inward effect. And that effect is spiritual birth, birth from above, what we call regeneration. So we say effectual calling is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in the dead heart of an unbeliever. A work that changes him into a willing follower and servant of Christ. Now, we never know when the Spirit will act in a person's heart. Men, we've often experienced it, can ignore, they can refuse and reject the outward call, the gospel. But when the Spirit acts and creates new life, that inward call is irresistible. It accomplishes the effect God wants, namely submission and devotion to Him. Now, our catechism answer, you may notice, lists four stages or steps in our effectual calling. It describes here what takes place in us when the Holy Spirit operates on us. First, there's conviction. Secondly, illumination. Thirdly, renovation or renewal. And then fourthly, reception. Just a few comments about each stage as we close this morning. First of all, conviction. Conviction means the Holy Spirit shows us. He confronts us with our guilt and convinces us that we, as sinners, are helpless before God. He powerfully persuades us that we deserve God's just punishment. And so we begin to feel the shame and the blame that is rightly ours. And secondly, there's illumination, which means we finally understand what God has been saying. We often say, or we hear others describe conversion as the truth dawned on me. Or the lights suddenly came on. The blinders fell off. Or I knew the gospel was true or real. And I knew the Lord was speaking to me. You remember Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. As that rebellious son, towards the end of the parable, was in the barnyard feeding the pigs, the scripture says, quote, he came to his senses. That wasn't self-generated. That was the Spirit turning on the lights in the midst of his sin and misery. And he realized where he was and who he was and what was becoming of him. And he repented. He turned and went home to his father. The third stage is renovation of the will or renewal, which simply means the Holy Spirit changes our desires, our motives. He gives us a new want to. So that now we will want to serve God. We will want to believe God and to trust Christ. We want to rely on Him from now on instead of ourselves. And then following conviction of sin, illumination of our minds, and the renovation of our wills, then there is our reception of Christ, which means we are finally fully persuaded to embrace, to receive Christ and to rely utterly, wholly upon Him. In fact, my reception of Christ by faith as my Lord and Savior, that is really the first occasion of my praising Him forever. It's my first occasion of true worship with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that His cosmic call pierced the darkness and the deafness of my dead heart and has brought me to life and will bring me home to heaven and His holy presence. Beloved brothers and sisters, not only this coming Thursday, but every day, praise God with thanksgiving that He called you out of the darkness of sin and death into the glorious light and life of Christ and His eternal kingdom. And with your thanksgiving, joyfully and earnestly follow the Apostle Paul's instructions in Ephesians 1 through 6, where he writes, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let us pray.